free to use.
Really? I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. Home Advisor.
When you go to the voting booth this November, or you're filling out your early ballot, ask yourself this question before you pull the lever or check the box. Are you better off today than you were 2 years ago? If you are, then vote Republican. If not, then pull the lever for somebody else. Remember, we are Republicans and we stand for you.
It's your turn to be heard. Stand up for America and join us on November 6th. Pull the lever for freedom and justice. Vote Republican. Sponsored by Dan Perkins.
Michelle Obama is behind a TV special on the night before Election Day. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
The former First Lady's nonpartisan, nonprofit campaign called When We All Vote is holding its first ever telethon for America on Monday night, Election Night Eve. It will be seen on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Comedy Central online. But the telethon does not have a goal of raising any money. Instead, the idea is to make sure people get out and vote the next day, regardless of who they're voting for. Among the stars who've signed on, Jessica Alba, Judd Apatow, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Allison Janney.
DirecTV apologized to NFL Sunday Ticket customers after a prolonged glitch on Sunday prevented many users from watching games through the subscription service. It's unclear how many DirecTV subscribers were affected by the glitch, but the glitch was asking people to pay an additional $50 to watch their game. This is USA Radio News.
From Graceworks Pictures comes Indivisible, based on the true story of Army Chaplain Darren Turner and his wife, Heather.
It is with great honor that I have served my country, but I only stand before you today because Jesus is my rock and because I have a family who loves and believes in me.
One marriage, one family, under God. Indivisible, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. More information is available at indivisiblemovie.com.
Former President Barack Obama is campaigning for Democrats, and one of the things you're hearing on the campaign trail, if you listen to the former president, is that he was the one who got the economy turned around, and right now we're hearing President Donald Trump take credit for it. I had a chance to chat with Stephen Moore. He's author of a new book titled Trumponomics, Inside the America First Plan to Get Our Economy Back on Track, and one of the things I asked him was the difference between the economy under President Trump versus former President Obama.
We changed from a community organizer as president to a businessman, and that's made all the difference in the world. I mean, the economy, and look, Barack Obama did the best he could. I don't have any ill feelings towards him, but he doesn't understand business. He doesn't understand the economy, and he had a lot of economists who gave him a lot of bad advice. And it was Barack Obama who said a couple weeks before the election, you know, when Trump said we're going to get to 4% growth and, you know, revive our manufacturing sector, it was Obama said, how is he going to do that? By waving a magic wand? Well, he's done it, you know. So I don't think there's anybody more surprised by this economic boom than Barack Obama. Unfortunately, in Obama's last year in office, the economy was only growing at 1.5% growth, which is really, really pitiful. Now we're going at 4%. That's the difference of going 15 miles an hour down the highway and 40 miles an hour down the highway.
Please remember, you can always check us out online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
It is 9:04. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio Weather. Flemington right now, it is 77 degrees, 80 degrees, clear skies, 10% chance of precipitation. It is Friday, TGIF, August 26, 2016. Partly sunny today, isolated showers this morning. Hot with highs in the lower 90s. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour, becoming northwest this afternoon. Chance of rain is 20%. Be mostly clear tonight. Lows in the lower 60s, so the humidity goes away. Sunny highs in the upper 80s tomorrow. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming east in the afternoon. On Sunday, sunny highs in the upper 80s. Mostly sunny on Monday the 29th, upper 80s. Tuesday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 80s. And partly sunny on Wednesday, the last day of August, upper 80s. So not much difference in the weather for the next couple of days. Temperatures in our area, 81 over in Raritan, 76 at the county complex, 75 in Frenchtown, 78 up in Hampton, 75 in Highbridge, 82 in Lambertville, and 78 in Ringos. That is Good Morning Hunter, and that's Hunter Chamber Radio Weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Alright, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and Hunshimmer.com. Got my guest in the studio. Her name is Andrea Salazar, and she is the Director of Player Development at CJ. It is 9:04. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio Weather. Flemington right now, it is 77 degrees, 80 degrees, clear skies, 10% chance of precipitation. It is Friday, TGIF, August 26, 2016. Partly sunny today, isolated showers this morning. Hot with highs in the lower 90s. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour, becoming northwest this afternoon. Chance of rain is 20%. Be mostly clear tonight. Lows in the lower 60s, so the humidity goes away. Sunny highs in the upper 80s tomorrow. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming east in the afternoon. On Sunday, sunny highs in the upper 80s. Mostly sunny on Monday the 29th, upper 80s. Tuesday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 80s. And partly sunny on Wednesday, the last day of August, upper 80s. So not much difference in the weather for the next couple of days. Temperatures in our area, 81 over in Raritan, 76 at the county complex, 75 in Frenchtown, 78 up in Hampton, 75 in Highbridge, 82 in Lambertville, and 78 in Ringos. That is Good Morning Hunter, and that's Hunter Chamber Radio Weather.
In 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor-supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited-time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Alright, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and Hunchimer.com. Got my guest in the studio. Her name is Andrea Salazar, and she is the Director of Player Development at CJVA, Central Jersey Volleyball Academy. I had no idea this even existed, but Beth Brody had contacted me to teach me all about it, and Andrea was gracious enough to come on by the studio to teach us all about it. What I really like about this, and we're going to learn plenty about it, is surprise, surprise, kids aren't sitting on the couch playing Nintendo all the time. There's actually kids going to learn about volleyball. So we're going to bring Andrea in to talk all about it. Good morning, Andrea. How are
you? Good morning.
So welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, this is awesome. Thank you for coming on in. Let's give a quick intro. Who are you, and what's your affiliation with CJVA?
CJVA. It's all right. Everybody has trouble with it. I'm the Director of Player Development at CJVA, mm-hmm. and we are a nonprofit volleyball organization. And we've actually been around for over a decade. We've served Hunterdon County and some of the surrounding counties and even parts of PA for about 11 years. Okay. And we pretty much train volleyball. We do from beginning developmental clinics from 11 and under, okay. All the way up to really competitive training from like 15 to 18 year olds. So right. We just that's our gig,
that's
volleyball
gig.
Training. Yeah,
amazing. So let's back up for a minute because I don't want to give all the particulars about CJVA mm-hmm. yet. Let's talk about a little bit about Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
What is your affiliation with volleyball? Why is the sport so interesting to you?
I played it when I was younger, and it was in my family. My mother played, and actually forced me to play. I hated volleyball. I was a soccer player. I was a big like contact sport player, so I was basketball, soccer, mm-hmm. and then you know, we moved to Bridgewater, and she just asked me to try volleyball out, and I fell in love with it. I started playing.
How early did she get you involved?
When I was probably 13, okay. 14. And it's so different than any other sport than you kind of just the people that end up playing it end up falling in love with it.
Yeah.
So I started playing it, and even when I was still in high school, I started helping out coaching with some Girl Scout clinics. And
were you competitive in high school?
Yeah, I went to Bridgewater Raritan High School, so we mm-hmm. actually had a great.
Well, Jim Gano is all excited. He just heard that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's a big Bridgewater Raritan.
Go Panthers!
Fan.
Yeah. So
he does the football games.
Okay.
He's the announcer for the football games.
Oh, very nice.
So
yeah, we were very competitive in high school. We won 2 state championships. So it's it's big.
So you were competitive in Bridgewater Raritan, and then did you continue that after?
I did not. I went right into coaching. I stayed local in Bridgewater, and mm-hmm. that's actually the exact same, right out of high school. That's the same year that that CJVA was started by Al Modern and Kim Modern, and a friend of theirs asked me if I wanted to coach, and I said, sure.
How did they even know about you?
Their friend used to be my former coach.
Okay, so a little networking going on.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. So you started to do coaching like mm-hmm. when you were still doing it in high school,
mm-hmm.
right? What drew you to that?
Stupid reason. I was asked to.
Well, yeah. Did you doubt yourself?
No. A coach of mine, Rich Drake, who's in the area, he used to run several Girl Scout clinics, and he was big on having the players of the club teach, you know, elementary kids. That's actually a tradition that we've continued at the club that I've mm-hmm. continued. And he asked if I wanted to coach, and, you know, he also kind of, I guess, helped me learn to coach, not just to play. And that's kind of where it started.
All right. Now, you also said that CJVA started kind of coincidentally when you graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. What did you just go right into work, or did you do any other college pursuits?
I did. I went to RV for early childhood education. But at the same time, I was actually working just different jobs. And then I'm staying at a vision therapy center and working that as my full-time job. And did that for...
So you're a busy person.
For a couple of years, yeah. And then our business started growing. Kim and Al eventually asked me if I wanted to make volleyball my full-time job. And, of course, I said yes. Who wouldn't want to do that? So I left the vision therapy center, and I came on board full-time with them.
And when did that happen? When did they ask you to be full-time?
Probably about 5 years ago when we decided to partner up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's back up. We heard the story of Andrea, so let's hear a little bit of story of CJVA. So they started it around the time you graduated, mm-hmm. which was, what, 7 years ago?
2005.
2005, mm-hmm. so 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What was the motivation for them?
They were currently at another club. Back then, there wasn't a lot of volleyball clubs in New Jersey. The closest one was in Union. And they there was a couple of Hunter and County parents, actually, that were part of that club. Mm-hmm. And it was just they weren't necessarily happy. It was far from them.
Yeah.
So they decided to start their own club, talked to everybody, and said, we can do a one-team club. And they decided to do that in 2005. And just for the, for kicks, they decided to do open tryouts. And instead, they got four teams that first year.
So it's that hungry a sport.
Yeah. Wow. It's growing like crazy.
Growing like crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So they decided to start the club. They mm-hmm. They did the tryouts. They got four teams.
Mm-hmm.
What does a club mean to me? I don't quite understand it. I relate to, let's say, Little League, right?
Okay.
That's the big thing right now where each team, each municipality has a team.
Mm-hmm.
So... But they play with locally,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I know, and then I realize that they have the travel teams. They
right.
put together the best, and then they go play in the other municipalities, and eventually it goes all the way to the playoffs.
Right?
How does volleyball and club volleyball relate to that?
It kind of embodies everything. Club volleyball is pretty much their season away from their high school teams. And we have all sorts of those levels. So we have a local level. So if kids want to come play and train locally and only compete locally, we have that level.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also are kind of like travel volleyball, where we have high-level teams that are our black and white teams that actually compete nationally. They train. They still train locally, but they train more often.
Right.
And then they represent our region, which is New Jersey and New York, at national tournaments up and down the East Coast and even at nationals.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you said it's on a schedule off of or not parallel, but separate from the schedule that's in the high school.
Correct.
So I'm doing I do Hunter and Chamber Radio Sports every day here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm noticing right now that the girls' volleyball is taking place.
Correct.
In the fall. I know that boys' volleyball tends to be in the spring.
That's right.
So you guys are going opposite of that? So
yeah.
The boys would be with you guys right now?
Yeah, right now we actually just started our boys' free tryout clinics. So we'll have travel team tryouts on September 11th.
Right.
And then right now we're doing just a bunch of clinics to get boys interested in the sport. And we'll have the boys' season from September through February. Mm-hmm. Then they'll actually stop, and then their high school season and their tryouts will be in March, and their school season will go March through May.
Gotcha.
And then we'll actually pick back up with the boys in June for nationals. And then the girls is kind of the opposite. The girls right now are in their high school season,
mm-hmm.
Or middle school season, and they usually do that till about October or mid-November. And then come November, we'll start our girls' tryouts for travel teams, and then their season will go November through May or June.
All right. So last question before we go to a break.
Okay.
What does the Director of Player Development, what is your focus?
My focus is to make sure every player that enters our gym is on the right track with their skill development. So it was my job to know around like 200 players that we had last year in our girls program.
Wait, 200 players in the girls program?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We have a
That's lot. Just in Central Jersey?
Correct.
All right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
We had a, our girls program is huge. Like I said, we started with four teams that first year. I think last year we had 30 teams. So it's definitely growing.
And then, so you're sitting there, each kid comes through the door, and you've got some type of chart, either paper, I imagine, electronic, where you're sitting there saying, these are the skills that this child, teen, needs to improve.
Yeah, we have almost like an age progression chart that our staff follows. So we know what a, you know what stepping stone a kid should be doing at certain ages.
Uh-huh.
And it's our job and my job to make sure that they're kind of following that. And that's what we can see who's kind of jumping ahead of that chart, who's falling behind, who needs a little bit of extra work. And you know, just getting to know all of these players, make sure they're happy with what they're doing and they're progressing.
Sweet. All right, we're going to take a break. We're talking to Andrea Salazar. She's the Director of Player Development at CJVA. That is Central Jersey Volleyball Academy. We'll be right back.
Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk the guy go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and Huntshaver.com. Andrea Salazar is with me. She is the Director of Player Development at CJVA, Central Jersey Volleyball Academy. And we just learned a heck of a lot just in the last 15 minutes about what they offer and why they're around. So, Andrea, let's talk a little bit about the academy. Now, first of all, where is it located?
It's located right in on River Road, actually down the street from Hunter and Central High School and right before Diamond Nation. So, you know, almost by behind the Walmart, right?
Okay,
yeah,
I know.
There you go.
Okay, there was a dance academy down there, too, I think.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But I saw it, my daughter went to the dance academy, and I saw all these people playing volleyball. So.
Yeah, that's us.
Okay, and so you're in kind of that industrial complex down
mm-hmm.
there. All right, so we got that. Has that been the place since 2005, or is it?
No, we actually started out of the Somerville YMCA for the first 2 years.
Okay.
And then Alan Kim found this space in the General Pallet building, which is the place on River Road.
General Pallet, yep.
Yep.
I remember it.
That's
yep.
it. And, okay. Fixed it up to be a volleyball facility. So we put three courts down. Multi-sport floor, and that's been our home for the past now 8-9 years.
Okay, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you local to the area? You went to school at Bridgewater,
yeah.
Raritan, so you.
Yeah, I'm still in Bridgewater, so yeah. I'm pretty local. I'm about
right.
you know
easy
15 minutes.
You.
Yeah, 15 minutes away. But I'm pretty sure I know Flemington better. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so it's the CJVA. It's been there for that particular place now. I'm putting the math together. It's 11 years, so you've been there about 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I know what it looks like, but you tell me when I go through. If I had a kid, I heard about you, and I said, oh, let me check this out, and we made an appointment, and I walked through the doors. Mm-hmm. What do I see?
You walk in, the first thing you see is the courts. We have our two main courts in the front. They're regulation courts with clear span ceilings. On the right side, you'll see our front desk. Come up to the front desk, and you'll usually see me because I live there. And, I'd greet you, and I'd let you, I'd ask what age,
yeah.
you know, how much experience, brand new, maybe a little bit of gym volleyball,
mm-hmm.
clinics, and then we find a program that's appropriate for you.
Okay. So we learn a little about the student,
mm-hmm.
the athlete that's coming in.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get to a little bit more about this in a minute, but the Olympics just finished, and I was watching some of the volleyball on the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the people that are on the court in the Olympics are like 6'3".
Yeah. Average.
So, you know, if somebody is more diminutive, what do they have to look forward to in the world of volleyball?
Height does play a big factor in it. You know, the Olympics are definitely not short on height. But there's, luckily, so many different positions. Volleyball is so intricate. So if you noticed in the Olympics, there was the player with a different colored jersey,
yes,
on the court. That's specifically a defensive player. So they don't go
why
near.
Why do they highlight that player?
Just, I guess, for tracking purposes, because that person can go in and out for the back row player without officially having a sub in. So as a, I guess, just to track it a little bit better, you need to just be aware of where that person is.
Is that new?
It's been around internationally for a while. It's fairly new, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember that a couple years
yeah,
ago.
In college and high school game, it's fairly new. I would say probably maybe 7-8 years old. It's
mm-hmm.
been around internationally. But that player is strictly defense, and you actually don't see a lot of height on those players.
Right.
So
they need to be low to the ground.
They need to be low.
They need to dig.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're short and still love volleyball, that's the position I play.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Can I make the assumption that that was done for that purpose, to bring more players into the game that felt cheated?
Probably not. It was probably brought in just to not use subs or substitutions anymore. I think that's why it was brought in, you know, internationally, but it happened to also fill that void.
Yeah.
And helping, you know, help those
cool.
players out.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, because you'd come in and I went, wow, she's a volleyball player. Right?
I was a libero. I was that defensive player, too.
Yes, you were
obviously,
defensive
I'm not
player.
Six something.
So you just gave me another insight that I had mm-hmm. no idea. There's how many? There's six players on the court mm-hmm. at each time. They're different. There's different roles on
yeah,
the team?
Yeah, there's different positions. There's, you know, obviously what we do is we want to train all around volleyball players, but what's happened to our sport, especially over the last couple of years, is it's gotten a lot specialized. So there's middle hitters, and their focus is, you know, strictly blocking. And then there's a libero that we talked about that's strictly defense. And then
libero, how do you spell it?
L-I-B-E-R-O, libero.
Libero.
The pronunciation is up for grabs. Everybody pronounced
that's
it a little bit different.
Spanish or something?
Might be a little Italian, maybe.
It's Italian for defense? For liberal.
Yeah.
Libero, liberal.
I think for free. Like you can
free,
go,
yeah. That's
there
it.
You go.
Libero, yep.
We're on the same
gotcha.
Page. And then there's, you know, a setter who strictly is in charge of taking the dig, putting the ball up in the air for the hitter. So there are different positions. So that's part of what we do, too. We do a lot of position-specific training for our players.
So what that implies to me mm-hmm. as a novice is that the team, the six people on the court, mm-hmm. have a set way that they, after they recover the ball from coming over the net from the other team, mm-hmm. they arrange that ball in a certain manner that takes advantage of the roles that you just described.
Correct. Yeah.
Even though that person, those people might not geographically might not be in the right spot.
Right.
They still know that they have to, certain people have to be in and the other guys stay out of the way.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, your objective is to try and put the ball down on the other side, and you're going to want to do that with a lot of force. So if someone's really, you know, everyone's almost got their identified role. And
I had no idea.
Yeah, so
I thought it was, you know,
when we
do gym volleyball, it's chaos.
No, volleyball, so it's really intricate. There's a lot more to it. After, especially with the older girls, you'll find it's less skill development. It's more, you know, it's more tactical. You have to put your better hitter against the weaker blockers of the other side. Mm-hmm. Then maybe the other team makes an adjustment. You also have to make that adjustment. So it's almost like a game of chess after a while. So it's a lot of fun.
No, it's intriguing. I had no idea it was this strategic.
Yeah.
When you are watching from afar, mm-hmm. I don't even have the idea that even occurred. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't realize that. So now getting back to your role, mm-hmm. You're trying to give kids an overall perspective of their skills. But eventually, at some point in their career with you guys, mm-hmm. you're going to figure out that somebody has a better skill than another skill, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be a better role player.
Yeah. When players are really young, you know, we want to really enforce every skill. We emphasize being an all-around player. You're not just a position. You're a volleyball player. But as kids get older, they do tend to almost pick a position. One of our mottos is, you know, you have to be good at least at two positions. But as they get to high school, everybody kind of starts settling into a role, you know, primary setter, outside defensive player, because a lot of their goals is to, you know, be competitive in high school. Hunter and Central, North Hunter and are very, very competitive.
Yeah.
So you have to almost train in a certain area to excel in it. And that's what we started doing around the high school ages.
Very neat. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. All right, I'm learning a lot here today. So getting back to CJVA, so people call you up and mm-hmm. you figure out where they fit in, and obviously mm-hmm. you've guys got a lot of options because with 200 women going on, 30 teams I think you just mentioned, you're going to find a place for them, and they're going to get involved. So now, what is their life like at CGVA? What do they enroll in, or what are their options?
Right. Well, the main program is our travel team. So if you come in right now in the fall season, mm-hmm. we have a couple leagues and clinics, but everything right now is gearing up to our club tryouts in November, and that's where trying out for a team. So again, in this area, if you're looking to continue playing in your middle school, your high school, in the fall season, you really want to make sure that you're playing travel volleyball in the winter season. So as soon as a player comes in, we kind of direct them towards that. You want to, you know, here are our tryout dates, try out for your specific age group, because our teams are based on ages.
Is there travel teams for each age group?
Correct. So like we'll have, like last year, our youngest team was a 12 and under team. Our oldest team was an 18 and under team. So you compete with your age group. And that's, you know, where we would direct a new player or even a you know, a experienced player. Come to our tryouts and see which team you make.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what are the age groups?
We have, like I said, from 12 and under through 18 and under. And then more importantly is we have different levels at each age group. I think we're one of the few clubs that offers different levels per age group.
What constitutes a level?
A level is either
like a beginner.
Yeah, it's the skill level of the team as well as the commitment to the team. So we have four levels right now. We have our black teams, which are our really top teams, competitive teams. They usually finish in the top of the region, and they go to nationals automatically. Mm-hmm. And then we have our white teams, which are also national teams. They also carry a competitive schedule, and they represent us at national tournaments. Which is also really, you know, players that are very committed to the sport, also very good. Our regional teams are maybe for beginner players or players that we get a lot of players that are dual sport athletes that still love volleyball, want to keep getting better for their school season, but also may be playing basketball or softball.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our pink teams, which is strictly developmental. We mostly have them in the younger age groups, which is complete beginner, an introduction to volleyball, and they practice just locally. And they compete locally at our facility.
And you said 12 and under and 18 mm-hmm. and under, which mm-hmm. implies that there's really not a strata on age.
Correct.
It's on skill most of the time.
Yeah. And it's both.
Certainly an older player is going to have more skills most of the time. But
correct. But we follow USAV age definitions,
okay.
Which means they tell you what, you know, what player is considered a 15 and under, a 16 and under. So we might have some players that are maybe in eighth grade playing up with ninth graders because of their age definition.
Okay.
So it's strictly by age. And then once they try out for like a 15U team, after that we take all of the 15-year-olds that tried out, and then we put them in black, white, or red teams based okay. on their skill.
Wow. And mm-hmm. so national, what is a typical schedule like for the national team?
For the national teams, they're very competitive. These are players that have really fallen in love with the sport, and they're very committed. They practice three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
They usually have a strength and conditioning.
How long is the practice?
2 hours.
Okay.
And they usually have a strength and conditioning or speed and agility session aside from those three practices. We also do skill.
What does strength and conditioning look like? Are you guys doing weightlifting over there?
A little more speed and agility. Yeah. Like plyometrics,
okay.
cone drills, a lot of, you know, a couple of speed and agility,
mm-hmm.
More than that. Then we have open gyms,
mm-hmm.
Which a lot of our players do come to. Or once the season gets going, we have position-specific clinics that they have available to them. So they're pretty much in our gym 4 to 5 times a week. Just playing. And then for our national teams, their schedule is really competitive. So they'll have a travel tournament, a multi-day travel tournament at least once a month. So
they would go to a destination? And
yeah, so we've gone to Baltimore, Florida, Washington, D.C. We have a tournament at Penn State University. So we travel up and down the East Coast.
Wow.
So it's a very competitive schedule.
Is there any free time you guys throw at them too? Or are they just you just keep them in the gym all locked up?
Nope, we give them some free time. They have their nights.
They have their nights. Yes, well, I was a high school teacher, and mm-hmm. nights freaked me out. Because, so, okay, well, good luck to you guys on that.
Yeah.
One of the things that struck me when you were talking about these kids trying to train and improve their skills, it's not typically something, or is it possible to train on your own? You know, the ball's got to go up in the air, and you got to practice somehow. How do you?
It's tough. It's doable. You know, it's not like basketball where you know you can have a hoop above your garage and you can shoot around. It is the ultimate team sport where your contacts depend on somebody else. So it is really hard to do on your own. And you know that's why we're around. You have to train with a group of people.
Because the predictability of where the ball's going to be. Just doesn't happen.
Exactly.
You have to react at that particular moment.
Yeah.
Wow. So the national teams are going to all these great places up and down the East Coast. The regional teams, where are they going?
The regional teams, they do have a couple of travel tournaments, but they do mainly single day regional tournaments. So might be a couple in Pennsylvania, a couple in New Jersey. So they still train twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have single day tournaments, which means you go for the day, you get put in a group, you play everybody in your group, and then there's playoffs. And then you see how well you do in playoffs.
Right.
So it's still almost, you're still doing the competitive tournament day schedule. You're just not, there's no traveling. So there's no, hotels and multi-days on that.
Sure. Now, you have 30 teams. Mm-hmm. Do you actually have tournaments just within your facility?
We don't. We scrimmage. We don't have official tournaments because the 30 teams are between two locations. We had, I think, about we had the majority of the teams in Flemington, and then we very recently opened a second location in Summit, New Jersey. And so we had seven teams out of there.
Okay. And you'll give us the address of where Summit is.
Yeah, we're actually out of Kent Place High School.
Well, there's a bomb. My wife works at Kent Place.
Oh, no way.
So we'll have to talk about that a little bit later. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So now we're definitely connected, Andrea.
Yeah, we are.
Very cool. All right, so we got 30 teams from young age all the way up. Scrimmages go on, regional opportunities go on, practicing goes on. This goes in concert with trying to improve for the possibility that these kids are in not a lot of middle school programs, right?
Well, in this area, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's why.
That's why it's so big.
That's why it's so big in this area, because you do have, J.P. Case, Reddington, and then in Clinton you have Clinton Township, Clinton Public. They actually all offer middle school programs. So these girls are playing at age 11. So by the time they get to high school, they're really well informed with the sport, and a lot of them do travel. Our 13 and 14 year old teams this year were very, very competitive.
So tell me why you obviously live and breathe this sport. Mm-hmm. Give me the virtues of why a child should consider volleyball, not in lieu of, but in compared to soccer's or field hockey's. What's the characteristics that make volleyball so appealing?
For me, I mean, I grew up playing all those sports. I grew up playing soccer and basketball, and the reason I really took to volleyball was because it was really the ultimate team sport. There's something about it where, it's not like soccer where you can pause, take a look at who you can pass the ball. Same thing with basketball. You can dribble for a while, pass. With volleyball, I mean, it's such a fast-paced sport, while the ball's in the air, you have to make all of these connections, all of these communications. It's not just as simple as, let's keep the ball in the air. While that ball's in the air, you're making these plays, these systems, and it gets really intricate. To me, it's a lot of fun because you almost have to be really smart about it, and it kind of incites that part of your personality. You have to really think about it, and that's why I think it's so appealing to so many people.
How has the sport grown over the last couple of years? What do you think has been the reason for that?
I think the Olympics you mentioned had a lot to do with it. We saw after London and Beijing, every time the Olympics are on, we get a surge of interest. We're already seeing that right now after Rio. you know, our registrations are going up, especially with our boys too, which is our main program right now. Mm-hmm. I think that has to do a lot with it, because then you see programs or schools in the area starting school programs, and that I think that's all coming from above. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been the Olympics have really put it out there. It's been mainstreamed. Prime time was, you know, beach volleyball. At night you were
so
seeing.
So you guys are putting sand in the.
Oh, I wish. Maybe actually, maybe soon.
Really?
Maybe.
That'd
yeah.
be fun.
That
it?
Would be fun. Yeah, because we actually do have a beach program, and
you have a beach program.
We do.
Where do you do that?
We rent space at White Oak Park. By
I was joking and I didn't realize
do.
I was going down. That's amazing.
We do. I mean, in the summer, that's what we encourage our players to do. You go down to Point Pleasant. They have beach volleyball tournaments.
Yeah.
And then during the week, we partner up with ECBVA, East Coast Beach Volleyball Academy.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
And these
wow.
players are training out of Plaquemine Park in Bedminster and White Oak Park, right in White House Station, just training twice a week on the sand.
So volleyball has become cool. That's what you're telling me.
Volleyball's always been cool.
I don't know. You know, I watch, you know, compared to like motocross and skiing and snowboarding and, you know, what's his name? White. And
Sean White.
Sean White and all that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's hard to compete with that type of stuff, but, and, you know, not a lot of kids. I know archery became big when
the
Hunger Games came out and it came out again. So
yeah,
it's cool that we're getting this infusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I do think it's the visibility's definitely increased because of the Olympics and mm-hmm. that's great because it's always been around and now I'm happy when I see younger kids pick up a ball and start playing.
Yeah. Well, I am too, because mm-hmm. like I said, you learn, or the disparaging thing from older generations to the younger ones is that they're electronically tied to their video games. But obviously with 200 women, girls in your mm-hmm. thing, and you got all the boys, you didn't even mention the population of that yet.
Yeah.
That's an incredible statistic that there's that many kids coming to you guys.
Yeah, no, we've definitely been growing, and it's great. You know, we're hoping this year we'll probably, every year we think we've had our biggest year yet, and then the very next year we grow even more. So it's exciting to see the direction the sport's going.
Very cool. All right, we're going to take another break. That's Andrea Salazar. She's the Director of Player Development over at CJVA, and we're going to be right back, talk a little bit more about it. Hang on.
I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. the end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disattel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingRadio.com. Andrea Salazar is here with me. She's the Director of Player Development at Central Jersey Volleyball Academy. And a big infusion from the Olympics that is making kids in droves come to their place down there right near Diamond Nation. So the boys' programs are taking place right now, mm-hmm. and you're taking tryouts and all that?
Yeah, like I said, we're opposite the high school season, so right. the boys' high school season is actually in the spring. So right now is where, you know, boys that are really competitive with the sport or really trying to get into it, they're looking to do training now. Mm-hmm. So we will have our tryouts in September, but until then, we're actually offering eight nights of free boys' clinics to try and get more boys involved. And we've been doing that for the past, I think we started last week, so about this, we're going into our second week now. Every Tuesday, Thursday from 6 to 8, we invite every boy that wants to get an introduction to volleyball or has already been playing, mm-hmm. Just a free clinic to see how you like it.
What's the ratio of girls to boys in the volleyball sport?
Very lopsided.
Is it?
Yeah, just to give you an example, we had, we had 17 teams of girls just in Flemington, and we had 5 boys teams.
So it's a sport that's not growing. Well, it's
growing.
It's in the opposite manner.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know why. It's like that, you know, nationwide. There's not many college men's programs as there is women's.
And interesting.
But it's definitely something that's growing, and we want to be a part of that. We want to get more boys involved. We had a great boys team last year. We had 3 great, really good boys teams. Well, one that was our most competitive. They ended up going to nationals, finishing in the bronze at nationals. So we're talking about them at a national stage doing really well.
Sweet.
And it was made up mostly of Hunterdon Central boys,
Central.
So they're representing locally and doing really well nationally.
So where do you, you've been here for 9 years, 11 years. What's, looking back on your work with CGAVA, what are you really proud of?
I'm really proud, I think, of obviously how the sport has grown. I think I see some of the programs in the area, some schools starting teams, and you know, mm-hmm. I feel like that's a direct, you know, that's part of what we're trying to do, is we're trying to grow the sport, and I'm really proud of the family we've built. I have players now that I've coached when they were much younger who are coming back, and they're right now coaching for us, and that's part of growing the sport, is also growing coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of this really cool circle of life. We've had last year, I think alone, we had a majority of our coaches were former players that have gone on to play at college, are now teachers locally, and have come back to coach. And mm-hmm. That's I think been something that I've been really proud of.
So you guys see the volleyball sport is growing at this point.
Absolutely.
You know, where we're losing, golf is kind of diminishing.
Yeah.
Football is getting very expensive. It's not going to go away. It's a very popular sport. But mm-hmm. But in comparison to, so because the girls are the dominant sex in this sport, how does that compare with soccer and girls basketball and field hockey? Are you guys still trying to catch up to them? Or are you?
I think we are playing catch up, but I think it's a steady growth that's been happening. I mean, I think right now the most popular sport in New Jersey is soccer. You know, I think it's offered. You can go to any rec department and sign up a 5-year-old for soccer,
right.
And that's still not available for volleyball.
Okay.
And you look at our, you know, nationally, our women's soccer team had 5 players from New Jersey, so I think definitely the sport in this state is soccer, but you can definitely see an increase with volleyball.
Well, that's a great explanation because the women's soccer team for the Olympics has won 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6 now.
Yeah.
So if volleyball is starting to get that successful and Karch Karai was keeping the beat for all the women volleyball players there.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that defeat, they still got a bronze medal. So
they did. They had a great tournament.
They had a great tournament. They looked awesome. Mm-hmm. So it's you guys are like 10 years behind, but the popularity is starting to show up, and that's great for your sport. And it's great that you guys have such a niche opportunity in this area because, as you said, it's not as widespread in the municipalities at this point.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like I said, I think Karch, he's actually a huge role model in our community, in our volleyball community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what he's done with the national team has trickled down to, I think, the college,
nice.
The colleges, the high schools, and to us. We definitely follow his lead.
I remember watching him in the Olympics. Oh, my God.
Oh, when he played?
Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
It was awesome.
He was a big beach player.
Yeah. Well, he did both.
Yeah, he played
both.
He did both.
He was one of the only players to win both and play in both. So if the sport blows out like you're expecting it, what are you guys going to do?
Oh, I mean, we're...
It's a tough problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to expand the building.
Yeah, it's not a bad problem to have. We're actually already kind of there. Like I said, our facility has 3 courts, and last year, unfortunately for our club teams, we were at maximum capacity.
So you've got a waiting list now.
Yeah, and we had to turn away kids, and that's something we don't want to do because, you know, that means that there's someone that doesn't get the opportunity to play. But, you know, looking forward, we're hoping to expand the facility or find a new facility with a lot of space, because that's definitely the direction we want to go. We want to continue growing and give, you know, more kids in the area the opportunity to play.
Mm-hmm. And you've expanded in Summit at Kent Place.
Yes.
Any other? You said there was one in Union. If I look at New Jersey, is there still a void? Is there certain voids in the state?
No, there's definitely volleyball clubs that are popping up, which I think is a great sign. You know, we don't really see it as competition, but instead we see a great sign that the sport is growing.
Yeah.
Because that means there are kids that maybe are too far away from us that can't come to us that are still able to find the sport. So you'll see too that there are new clubs popping up every day, and they're getting, you know, their group of kids out too, but I think we're definitely probably one of the biggest and most competitive in the area.
Nice. And what's next for Andrea? What are you looking to do for the next couple of years? I know you live over at CJVA, but how are you trying to grow yourself?
I'm big on my development as a coach, and Kim and Al have always been really good at fostering that. So they're really gracious at sending us to different certifications that help us attain that. I definitely want to reach a certain level of accreditation as a coach. I feel like the only way our program and our kids are going to grow is if I myself as a coach, I'm growing, so I want to continue to keep learning from the best and getting our program even stronger.
So you found your place, huh?
Yeah,
you're feeling pretty homey. I'm one of those lucky
people that found their career.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
It is very cool.
And you got your preschool certificate, so that kind of works with all the younger kids.
Yeah, I mean, I have to like kids to work with them.
What's your absolutely. So over your 11-year career, mm-hmm. any particular person that you went, wow, that was really cool to watch them?
I had a team that I actually moved up with for 4 years. I coached them when they were 15, 16, 17, 18. And this is when our club was very young. We really